Hello again, it's Jeff Kaplan of the Kaplan & Walker Law Firm and Chair of SAI Global Compliance's Law and Ethics Advisory Board. I'm with Lisa Soto of Hunt & Williams today. Lisa, could we start by you telling us a little bit about your background and about Hunt & Williams's privacy law compliance practice?
Sure. Thank you, Jeff. I am the head of the Global Privacy and Information Management practice for the firm. The group is about 20 lawyers strong, and we span the globe, understanding that data flows across country boundaries. We have privacy and data security lawyers in the U.S., in Europe, and in Asia handling worldwide issues for multinational corporations. We also have associated with our legal practice the Center for Information Policy Leadership, which is a privacy think tank that thinks about privacy policy issues 3 to 5 years out, so that we hope to mitigate issues that might otherwise be problems later on, but instead deal with them earlier so that we can avoid those problems.
Hey, thank you. And I'd like to begin the podcast by asking you a few questions about drivers for privacy compliance. And the first is to ask how you would describe the current enforcement environment in the U.S. with respect to privacy law.
Well, there's certainly been an uptick in enforcement in the U.S. The FTC has been very active in this space for about 10 years now, and certainly views privacy and data security as an essential component of its consumer protection mission. In this most recent administration, the Obama administration, the FTC really has made very clear that it was going to be extremely active in enforcement, and we have seen the FTC flexing its muscle in more significant ways lately. So the FTC really is the primary regulator in this space on a federal level, but there are other agencies that also that we are looking to become more active in this space, like Health and Human Services, in dealing with the changes to HIPAA via the High Tech Act. So I think we'll see a lot more enforcement across the federal government. In addition, we're seeing a lot of activity on the state side. State attorneys general view this as a very attractive area in which to enforce, and we've been hearing about a lot of activity of late on the state level as well.
And this broad question to follow up, but what about outside of the United States, the enforcement environment?
There really are new laws cropping up almost daily in this area. So, for example, Mexico just passed a new data protection law. Malaysia just passed a new data protection law in the last month or so. So what we're seeing is that enforcement mechanisms are being developed all over the world, and simultaneously we're also seeing an uptick in enforcement all over the world. We are also seeing more fines. So, for example, the Spanish Data Protection Commissioner funds its office through its fines, so there is incentive to fine in this space. So I would say there is really a significant increase in enforcement over the last year or two, and I am guessing that we're going to see a significant increase going forward.
And when privacy violations occur under various legal regimes that you were just describing, and a company faces potential liability for them, can that company get credit in an enforcement decision for having an effective compliance program for privacy?
I think if a company can show that it's a good actor and it's trying to comply and it's keeping up with the latest security tools, for example, the antivirus software, and making sure that its wireless networks are secure, I think there's a good possibility of staving off an enforcement action, even if there's an investigation done by a state attorney general or by the Federal Trade Commission. Certainly, if there's a good story to tell, it might help to mitigate the possibility of an actual enforcement action. I think the key here is to put in place an effective program that's defensible, so that you can be able to show the regulators that we had a good, strong program in place with a strong infrastructure, and there was a vulnerability here, or there was an event that we really couldn't have controlled, and we have done everything that's reasonable to control our privacy and data security space.
And with that as an introduction, let me turn to the second general topic of the podcast, which is what makes a privacy compliance program effective. And the first question there is what generally should the accountabilities for privacy compliance be with respect to the various different departments that might have responsibilities in this area, whether it's law, privacy office, if there is one, HR, information services, and indeed other parts of a company?
Most companies now have a privacy office or, if not a full-blown privacy office, a privacy officer. Typically, a privacy office would be headed by a chief privacy officer, and that group might be part of the law department or might be part of the compliance function. There's no hard and fast rules here as to where that function might sit. We've also seen some companies that have that function as an independent function altogether. That office typically works closely with the HR group, the marketing group, certainly works very closely with the information technology group, and works really hand in glove with the information security department. So there is a close relationship between the privacy office or privacy officer and many other departments within a company, so that because privacy and data security really permeate throughout the organization.
Okay, and I'm assuming that in companies with privacy compliance programs, there would tend to be a written policy on privacy. And so my next question is, what are keys to success in terms of having such a policy?
Yeah, it really is critical to have a privacy policy in place, and in the EU, for example, it's actually required. So there's not a choice as to whether to have such a policy in place. The purpose of a privacy policy is twofold in my mind. First, it creates accountability for the organization so that an organization is held accountable for the statements it makes in its privacy policy with respect to its uses of information. And second, a policy would also serve as a communications tool to inform individuals as to the uses of their data. And in the privacy world, we often say use the mantra that we should say what we do and do what we say. So privacy policy is critical. It really does lay the groundwork for how a company will use data.
Okay, and let me ask a similar question with respect to training and communications, and that is, what are the hallmarks of success with respect to training communications in this area? And thinking particularly about global companies, which have to or may have to comply with different national standards on privacy.
Yeah. Training and awareness really are an essential part of any good compliance program, and certainly that's true in the data privacy and security space as well. These sorts of training programs can run the gamut from very formal training programs to less formal sort of constant awareness protocols, which are also very effective and usually go hand in hand and work in tandem with a more formal training program. The training absolutely needs to be clear. It needs to be understandable to those who are sitting through the training. And there also needs to be a point of accountability so that if there are questions, there needs to be a human that people can talk to if they don't understand quite what to do with data. This sort of training and awareness really does help to make privacy and data security part of the corporate ethos, and I think that's the goal of any good training program.
Okay, and the goal of part of most compliance programs is having auditing, monitoring, and other forms of checking. Is that true for privacy, and if so, what do those functions typically consist of for privacy?
Yeah, it is absolutely true. An internal audit program is extremely useful in ensuring that employees and contractors understand their responsibilities under the company's privacy policies and procedures. A good understanding of people's roles is really the only way that privacy and data security can work. These are very vulnerable to human error, so as long as folks are well trained and aware of their responsibilities, there is a lower likelihood of the human error vulnerabilities coming to the fore. And the way to test that is through a good audit program.
And what are significant third party, and by third party I mean suppliers, contractors, agents, third party compliance risks with respect to privacy that companies should address through their compliance program?
Third parties really are a huge area of vulnerability in privacy and data security. We can control our own workforce to some extent. We can have training. We can have awareness campaigns. But it's much, much harder to do that with a third-party workforce. So we typically talk in terms of a triumvirate of activities to try to control the third-party population who inevitably has access to data maintained by a company. Those three items are first to conduct due diligence on your vendors to make sure that they have the ability to protect information in a way that you think is satisfactory. Second, ensure that you have sufficient contractual obligations so that they are contractually obligated to protect data in a way that's satisfactory. And third, you really do need to do ongoing monitoring of at least significant vendors, those that have significant access to personal information that's maintained by the company. And the reason for that, of course, is that you can have a terrific program at the beginning of a relationship, but as the relationship progresses, the vendor may change, may shift gears, may get a little bit less sensitive to the issues. So ongoing monitoring will help to ensure that the protections stay in place throughout the life of the relationship.
Okay. And my final question is really a catch-all, and that is whether there are any other key features of an effective privacy compliance program beyond those that we've been discussing.
Yeah, as with any good compliance program, you really need a strong governance structure in place. Typically, we would recommend putting in place a charter to manage a privacy and information security committee throughout the firm that would have its leadership at the top in the steering committee, and then tentacles throughout the organization through the different geographic regions. In addition, of course, that steering committee would have responsibility for ensuring that the policies and procedures with respect to privacy and data security are in place. Would also ensure that a third-party service provider program is in place so that the due diligence that I just spoke about could be carefully conducted and documented. And then in addition, of course, the steering committee would oversee at a high level the training that's done throughout the organization. Of course, some of that will be done on a local level, so they won't typically oversee it in a very deep, granular way, but would generally oversee the fact that training and awareness was happening on a relatively constant basis. And, of course, would also oversee the internal audit function to ensure that people understand their role in protecting the privacy and security of information.
Lisa, thank you very, very much for being with us today. This information is extremely helpful, and we're very grateful that you took the time to share it with us. So thank you again.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.